All right, and once again, as previously stated, this is Youth Devotion Night. Before we begin, we want to let you know that we're excited about our youth, and we are so thankful for the leadership that we have with our youth. That is Brother Stephen and Vanessa Orell, and that's Brother Sean and Jeannie Thaler, who are helping and assisting the Orells. We know that the Orals have their hands quite full here in recent times, but we're excited about what God is doing with our youth and with our leadership. Brother Sean and Jeannie have really stepped up and have been had such a good spirit and a good attitude in everything they're doing. And with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over now to Brother Sean Thaler. Brother Sean, go right ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, sir.
All right. Well, The first person that we were that we had asked to speak tonight is Sister Naomi Roseberry, and we all love and appreciate her and her family. And you could see that God, the hand of God, is on her life, and we are just so thankful for what is going on with her. And I am so excited to hear what she has to say. So, Sister Naomi, are you on the line?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, cool. The floor is now yours. Go ahead and give us what's on your heart.
Well, I'm honored to be asked to speak again tonight. I'm glad what I've had to say in the past was good enough that I've been asked to share my thoughts with you again. But I give God all the glory, because without Him, I wouldn't have any talents or abilities. And as the song says, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. I've been told that I talk really fast on these devotions, so I'll try to slow down a little bit, but I am nervous, so bear with me. What I'm going to share with you tonight is very personal. I've only told two close friends about it, and one of those friends suggested that the next time we speak on a devotion, I should talk about this subject because it would be helpful to someone. So that's my main goal tonight, to help someone in their walk with God. When I was a little kid, a lot of times I would go with my parents to the doctor's office whenever they had a checkup. On one particular occasion, when I was about 8 years old, I went with my mom and dad for my dad's appointment. But there was something different about this one. Even though I wasn't very old and I couldn't understand what was going on, I could feel the tension in the room. The doctor suddenly looked very old and worn out, and my mom had panic and fear in her eyes, and my dad was tight-lipped and uncomfortable. I left the doctor's office that day confused and afraid. A few days or weeks later, I remember my parents sitting in our living room and calling my brothers and I over to sit with them. As I was sitting in my mom's lap, my dad broke the news to us. He had cancer. As soon as those words were spoken, I cried. I cried not because I knew what cancer was, but because I remembered the looks on people's faces when they talked about it. How they whispered its name like it was a bad word. And now all those feelings were connected to my own dad. The next Sunday after my parents broke the news to us, Pastor Clark told the church. I remember that moment perfectly. Pastor Clark said, "Our very own Brother Roseberry has cancer." The entire church hailed, inhaled in unison, and turned around and looked at us with more fear and more worry. It only confirmed to me that what was happening to my dad was bad. And so my dad started his chemotherapy and radiation treatments. He stayed home from work, and I liked it at first because I got to spend more time with him. But later on, as he took more treatments, I would hate to come home from school because I would have to see him so sick and weak. I remember the day my dad shaved his head. He picked me up from school, and he was wearing a baseball cap. As we were walking back to the car, he took the hat off his head, and he said, "Look, it disappeared," and laughed. I didn't think it was very funny. There was one day when things got particularly bad. My dad was coughing up blood, and he spit in the sink. When he saw me watching him, he said he was sorry that I had to see that. He started throwing up, and it just got so bad that my mom took him to the emergency room. Pastor Clark came and prayed for him. When I was older, my dad told me that he thought that was the night he would die. He doesn't know this, but I thought the same thing. My dad ended up staying in the hospital for several weeks. It ended up that he had had a cold, but since his immune system was so low, it had a dramatic effect on him. My mom took me to visit my dad, and I remember seeing him in that hospital bed. in the hospital bed, looking weak and old. His eyes were sunken in, his hair had fallen out, and it laid on chunks on the pillow. There were a lot of tubes and wires sticking out of him, and he could hardly even smile when I walked into the room. My mom told him how I cried every night. He looked at me and said, "Don't cry, Ladybug. Everything will be okay." But I still cried then, because everything wouldn't be okay. My dad was going to die. I was having a lot of trouble at school. I had no friends, and no one cared. Or so I thought. I know now that people at church cared, and they tried their best to show that they did, but they just didn't really know how to help. I remember in a message Brother Raul preached about a year or two ago, he was open and honest about how he felt during that time, and he said, when my dad had cancer, he thought, who's going to be a father to those two boys? Who's going to walk that little girl down the aisle? I had those same thoughts. I had hit rock bottom. I was tired of being hurt by people, by life, by myself. At one point, I even blamed God. Everyone had always told me all my life that I had it easy because my entire family was in church and because I was born in church. Was this what it was like to live for God then? Did I want this? Is this what God rewarded his faithful servants with? Maybe it wasn't worth to live for God then. Maybe it wasn't worth to even live at all. These were my thoughts, but I was wrong. I couldn't have been further from the truth. Walking away from God because of turmoil in your life is not worth spending an eternity in hell. Most people know that a lot of people who are depressed cut themselves. I would make marks on myself with a pen because I knew that if I cut myself, my dad would see, and I didn't want him to know that his little girl was hurting. I didn't want him to worry about me before he died. I realize now that everything would be okay. Everything will always be okay, even if my dad had died, even if I die for some random reason. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're living for God, you'll be okay no matter what if you just trust in him. I look back now and I realize that the reason I wasn't okay then and all the times I've been at the altar and admitted, God, I'm not okay, was because I was relying on myself and trying to gather all of my strength to continue to press on. The truth is, I wouldn't have made it, not without God. It's also been requested by several people that I share another one of my poems. This one is partly written from my point of view now to who I was back then, and also to anyone in this position. It's called Where the Flowers Grow. You say the sun has forsaken you and the clouds have embraced you. The trails have led you astray and the earth has given way. You've said your life is worthless because the only happiness you find is knowing that when you're gone, the world will have one less worry on its mind. You say you've hit rock bottom, that you'll likely be buried below. Oh, but darling, did no one ever tell you that the ground is where the flowers grow? The week that my dad was scheduled to have surgery to remove the cancerous piece of his lung, I went to junior youth camp. That night, the night before my dad was going to have his surgery, he drove up the mountain to be in the night service with me. That was the night I received the Holy Ghost. Having said all of this, I'd like to make it clear that I'm not bitter about anything that has happened in my life. If anything, I'm glad that God has allowed me to gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding through these events so that I can help other people. I'd also like to point out that a lot of young people who were born into church may feel like they didn't have a testimony because they'd never done anything, quote, that bad. But as a young lady that's been raised in the church, I want to tell you that you do have a testimony. Maybe it's not how you were brought out of the world or how you were delivered from drug addiction, but let it be that you stayed faithful to God and to your church, how you stayed submitted to your pastor and how you trusted God through the thick and thin. Be an inspiration to other people that if you can live your life right, then they can too. I'm going to close out by reading Romans 8:38-39, which says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God will always love you and will never leave you, no matter what you do or what happens to you. Just make sure that you hold up your end of the bargain and remain faithful to God. no matter what happens. Thank you for your time and attention. I hope I helped someone tonight. That's all I have.
Wow, Sister Naomi, that was that really touched my heart. And and I'll share something too with the church and with you. I remember that service when Pastor Clark announced that your dad had cancer, and I remember it very vividly. Your dad had meant a lot to me throughout the years. I'd get texts from him while I was walking throughout campus at Cal Poly. You know, thinking about, you know, how I'm all alone on this campus. I'm one of the few, if not the only one, living for God at the time. And, you know, feeling just different, perspectives and whatnot that are contrary to, you know, the Word of God. And I remember I would just be walking to classes or, you know, walking back from class, and I'd get a text from your dad. And I remember thinking about that when he was diagnosed. I don't want to lose that, and I don't want to lose the influence that he has, with me, and how many other people he can help. And so I want to tell you, Sister Naomi, thank you so much for sharing that. And there was so much that you can, that a young person or anybody, even adults, can pick through what you just talked about. And that was so, so good. We are so proud of you, and thank you for opening up your heart. That may not have been very easy to open up your heart that way, but thank you. And I know for a fact that is going to help a lot of people. So thank you again. And we're going to move on to our next person that is waiting to share what's on his heart, and that is Brother Israel. Brother Israel was on to speak last week, but we had some technical difficulties. And, someone also has a testimony that is very powerful that he can share, or, you know, whatever's on his heart, and he always has something good to say. And he's always been an encouragement and an inspiration to me. And we've been good friends for, you know, ever since we met when I was, 14, and I'd be 16 actually when I met him. And I sincerely appreciate Brother Israel, and he always just has the right thing to say and very calming. And so, Brother Israel, come take the floor if you're unmuted.
Can you hear me okay?
You're coming in.
Okay, thank you, Brother Sean. It's very nice of you. We've known each other for a long time since you were a fresh face boy, and I had a little facial hair. I've always struggled with that. I want to say, wow, that was a really powerful testimony given by Sister Naomi. It couldn't have been easy to go through, but it was incredibly brave and very powerful for you to share that. Your dad's a very, very good man of God, and I look up to him. Your family went through something incredibly hard, but I believe that the Roseberries are stronger for it, and they're a very good, good family. Anyhow, what I have to say, what's on my heart to say for everyone, is for everyone, but especially it's for the youth. So in prayer, recently, I've been thinking a lot about what Brother Chavez has been preaching about and what he spoke to the youth about, getting right with God and straightening out, strengthening our walks with God and setting aside excuses and putting in the work. There's a supreme importance to having a walk with God, especially in the times that we live in currently. I have to check myself from time to time. It's easy to look at all of your shortcomings in life and your character flaws, where you are in your life currently versus where you'd like to be. You can look at the state of the world, then you begin to grow cold and apathetic. The enemy would like us to believe that the lower we set our expectations of life, the lower our chance of being just colossally let down will be. But it's a lie. So I designed to keep people down, the people of God. Those who truly care about their fellow person, those who have empathy and a love for the church and a love for humanity in their hearts, those with potential. God's called us to do great things. We're not great by ourselves or anything like that, but the world does need us for the power that we have within us. We've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, and we know that the world begins to fall apart when people become desensitized to cruelty and peril. It's just pumped out by the media, pumped out by society. When Judeo-Christian values are deemed controversial, when what we believe and know to be the truth becomes controversial, when people stop loving one another, and we know that God is love, so it's easy math. The more that God is excluded from the equation, the faster that the world eats itself. If there's ever been a time to really dedicate to God, it's now. The world can make people willing to abandon their Christian heritage and to toss out their values in return for a more comfortable life. Well, I'm just changing with the times, people tell themselves, but that's exactly the opposite of the progress that God's looking for. Just like the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I've heard people who are up in years say that they've never seen the country that we live in more polarized and divided than it is now. Entire groups of people just hate, despise other groups of people, and it's all over ideas. And the enemy wants nothing more than to separate people into groups and categories and pit those groups and categories against one another. It's our job to provide stability as the unified people of God, to put forth the love of God into society. We might not be able to fix the way things are, but we can point as many people as we can in the right direction. And that's our purpose. At the end of the day, I just want to do right by God. It's time we dig deep within ourselves to find that thing that's holding us back from doing the very best that we can for God, those weights that beset us. Maybe it's not some nefarious sin that's holding you back. Maybe it's not a secret life. Maybe you don't have any skeletons in your closet. Maybe you really do care, but you're afraid that you have nothing to offer. Some people have a fixed mindset. When society and media tells you that you're less than the rich and the famous and the powerful, and if you begin to tell your children that they're worthless for long enough, that they have nothing to offer and that they're stupid, they might never move past those labels. But with the help of God, you can transcend any fate bestowed upon you by the faithless. And as a matter of fact, you do have something to offer. You can be extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Not for yours, not for ours, not for my glory. I just want God to be proud of me. I want God to be proud of our church, our youth group. Some people long for nothing more in life than their parents' approval. They strive for it their whole life, and they can't find it. But how about your Heavenly Father's approval? He loves you. You're not inadequate. It's not hard to achieve the approval of God. He's kind, and he wants what is best for you. So I say, as a youth group, and as a church in general, we band together and we get right. It's time. There really is no time to waste. There really is time. As the world around us accelerates in evil and darkness, we should be doing more for God than we ever have or ever imagined that we'd do. I'm ready to see our youth continue to improve. The last revival any of us will see is on our backs. I look forward to seeing what God has in store for us, and I'm proud to be part of my church, and I'm proud to be part of this youth group, and I'm expecting great things. God bless.
Hey, Matt, thank you, Brother Israel. That was very good, and I appreciate you telling us what is on your heart tonight. That was very, very, very good. Thank you so much. That's all we have tonight. Brother Vic, if you're on the line.
Yes, we are, Brother Sean. We are on the line. And again, thank you, Brother Sean. Thank you to all of our youth leaders. And thank you to our youth. Again, what powerful testimonies we heard from Sister Naomi and Brother Israel tonight. First of all, we want to say thank you for your candid and heartfelt testimonies. Thank you for opening up your innermost feelings and emotions. And also thank you for the power and the strength that you've given to us by sharing your voice and your faith with us. And we really mean it when we say your voice. Our young people are finding their voice, and what great faith and wisdom that is coming across with their voice. I just want to read a quick text message that Sister Naomi sent here just a few moments ago. My correction, Sister Lupe sent a text message, and it reads, Sister Naomi's testimony was so inspiring. Thank you, Sister Naomi. My grandkids are here listening, and they were touched. And I want to also repeat a quote that Brother Israel just made. I want God to be proud of me. Well, we want Brother Israel and our youth to know he is proud of you, and we are proud of you. So once again, thank you to our youth and our youth leadership for everything that's taking place. Church, why don't we just close out tonight by thanking the Lord together for what he is doing in our youth. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the voices that we heard tonight in Sister Naomi and in Brother Israel and sharing their innermost feelings, Lord God, the pain and the hurts that they went through. Oh, but now, Lord, there's character that is being developed in them. We can hear it, we can feel it, and we can see it, Lord. We thank you for this, Lord, and we ask you to continue to keep your hand upon these, our young people. There are children, there are younger brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. And everyone said, Amen. And with that said, everyone, we want to remind everybody to join us at church tomorrow morning. And we look forward to seeing everyone there. We're going to have Brother and Sister Chavez preaching once again tomorrow morning. Please abide by the guidelines that were sent out earlier yesterday and today regarding the new guidelines. With that said, we love you and have a great evening in Jesus' name. Amen.